Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is January 22, 2023. This is Adar 1, 2026. We're going to start our first service on this new moon Sabbath with a song.
To Yah be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His love and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of Yah. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Yahshua the pardon receives. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath ordered, great things He hath done, and great are rejoicing to Yahshua the Son. The cure and higher and greater will be, a wonder or transport when Yahshua receives. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Going to be taken from 2 Timely Greetings, number 11, The Way the Kingdom is to Come. We're going to find out something that about the kingdom of Israel, more than we ever had before, and why the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of Israel purified. It has to be reclaimed from the Old Testament. This kingdom that we're setting up these last days is a reclaiming of the old kingdom of Israel. And with the resurrection of the righteous ones of that kingdom, they have to be resurrected in the 12th hour and sit up in that kingdom here on earth. That's where they're at anyway. Okay, let us go now. Okay. Text for prayer. As the birds are ready to catch up the seed from the wayside, so Satan is ready to catch away the seeds of the divine truth from the soul. For he fears that the word of the Yahweh may awaken the careless and take effect upon the hardened heart. Satan and his angels are in the assembly when the gospel is preached, or where the gospel is preached. And it says, While the angels of heaven endeavor to impress hearts with the word of Yahweh, the enemy is on the alert to make the work of no effect. With an earnestness equal only by his malice, he tries to thwart the work of the Spirit of Yahweh. While Yahshua is drawing the soul by his love, Satan tries to turn away the attention of the one who is moved to seek the Savior. He engages the mind with the worldly scheme, for he excites criticism or insinuates the doubt and unbelief. For the speaker's choice of the language or his manner may not please the hearer, and they dwell upon these defects. Thus, the truth they need, which Yahweh has graciously sent them, makes no lasting impression. What do we need to pray for this afternoon? That the angels may be around us so that the enemy will not have an opportunity to catch away the seeds of the divine truth. That we keep our minds completely centered upon the Yahshua and his kingdom. There shall be no loophole for the evil one to gain an entrance and thus beguile us into sin. All right, end of the prayer thought. The way of the kingdom is to come. October 11, 1947, B.T. Hallett gave this sermon. For the Jews had built up an erroneous conception of what the kingdom was to be, and how and when it was to come. And so when the Yahshua exposed their misconception, they became indignant. They were very angry. Not because the kingdom that the Savior disclosed was not much more bountiful and practical than they had ever conceived, but because their errors were exposed. Thus the heaven's favored people, the Jews, piled error upon error and brought upon themselves shame and disaster. Should the Christians' idea of the kingdom be somewhat erroneous also? And should we fail for the profiting by the mistakes of the Jews, then our fall would be even greater than that of the Jews. Let us therefore lay aside any preconceived ideas we may have and accept the Yahshua's revealed truth, which brings us his idea of the kingdom fresh today. This is what we need to know. His kingdom fresh today. Matthew 13:24-26. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blades sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. For the pestering tares, which grow higher and stronger than the wheat, Satan inspires And by them fabricates the erroneous theories concerning Yahweh's plan for the terrors, according unto the parable, so closely resemble the wheat that they cannot be discovered except after they bear the fruit. That is, they can be discerned only by the final results brought forth by their works. And what can these results be? What else from the ideas that are not heaven inspired may you expect in the church but selfishness, egotism, bigotry, worldliness, prejudice, hatred against reproof, and light on their evil deeds? That's question mark. Is it not their aim for the exalting of themselves rather than for the exalting of the Yahshua and His truth? Question mark. This know also that in the last days the perilous times shall come, for the men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient unto parents, unthankful, unholy, without the natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of the Yahweh, having a form of righteousness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with the divers lust, ever learning and never able to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:1-7. Matthew 13:27-30. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them, that both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather you together first the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Here we see that even the ideas of the most faithful servants of the Yahweh, as for the setting up of His kingdom and the weeding out of the tares, are not the same as the Yahweh's plan. This cleaning work belongs only unto the angels of the heaven, and this they will do in the time of the harvest after being commanded to do so, not before. In this parable, we are also told that the spiritual harvest is as a time, not as a momentary work, and that it brings the end of the world just as naturally as the year's harvest brings the end of the summer. Thus you see that the separation of the wheat and tares takes place in the last day and in the two different places. First in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, Matthew 13:47-48, then in Babylon, Revelation 18:2-4. In the former, the tares are taken out from among Yahweh's people, but in the latter, Yahweh's people are taken out from among the tares, from the habitation of the devil, of the foul spirits, of the unclean and hateful birds. There are two fruits also. For the first are from the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 7:2-8. That's out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the second from all nations. Revelation 7:9. Matthew 13:31. 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a grain of the mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the earth, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. For the mustard seed, being the smallest of all seeds, this parable shows that which is the start of the kingdom will be very insignificant. Okay. Contrary unto all human expectation, nevertheless, like the mustard plant, becomes the biggest of all herbs, so the kingdom shall grow and become the greatest of all kingdoms. This being contrary to all human planning, it is but natural that those who are like the Nicodemus and continue to be ashamed to be identified with something that is unpopular, hated, and insignificant will as a result be left out of the kingdom. Now, Matthew 13:33. Another parable spake he unto them, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in the 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. For the kingdom is here again shown to start with something small. The little thing is to be like the yeast in a loaf of bread. What should the leaven be? But an unpopular message born by some insignificant one and put into the church, the loaf. Well, the leaven is in the dough now. Just watch it leaven the whole. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Those who will gain entrance into the kingdom are here represented as searchers of the great treasure. When they find the location of the field, they are very eager to make it their own. They are certain of its worth and count it not a risk for the selling all that they possess, whether much or little, to obtain the kingdom. What they sell is not only lands or houses, but anything which, if not disposed of, would keep them out of the kingdom. They are certain that they are making a good investment, that they are to get much more out of it than they put into it. On the other hand, those who are foolish, who do not know the value of it, feel they dare not make the investment, and consequently will be the losers. Matthew 13:45-46. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking a goodly pearl, who, when he had found one pearl of the great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Those who are to inherit the kingdom are here again represented as searching for a very valuable jewel, and that is the kingdom truth. They're searching for the kingdom truth. And when they find it, they count it not a gamble to sell all they have in order to make it their own. They know that they are getting a bargain, that such an investment will actually make them rich. Both the man who bought the field containing the great treasure and the man who bought the pearl of the great price sold everything they had in order for the closing of the respective deals. But even though it took everything they had, they both did have enough to buy what they wanted, so it is that it matters not who we are, how rich or how poor we be, if we make up our minds to sell all and buy the kingdom, we will have just enough to buy the kingdom. Matthew 13:47-48. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. For the net must represent the truth, the message of the kingdom, as it is cast into the sea. Published and sent out, it is bound to catch good and bad. But when the net is drawn, the bad are then cast out from among the good, and the good are put into the vessels and to the kingdom. Hence, merely because one is attracted by the mighty truth does not mean he is saved. His chances to stand forever with the truth depends on his meeting the Yahshua's expectations of him. Matthew 13:52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. That's what I do, is I bring things out of the Old Testament to add with the New Testament. Here the Master plainly points out that the Yahweh's members of the kingdom bring out of the Word things both old and new, things that are known and things that are unknown unto them. Thus it has ever been in the unrolling of the scroll, and thus it must be now. Luke 14:16-17. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. In this parable it is made known that in the closing hours of the probationary time, at supper time, about the end of the day, heaven is to send a message unto them that are bidden, unto them that already know the doctrines or the teachings of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, mostly. Romans chapter 3. That's all over the New Testament. For the members of the church, for the servant is to inform them that everything is now ready, that they should now come in for the great and long expected supper, a supper that they are to eat in the Master's mansion, the kingdom, not in their own. Luke 14:18-20. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. For the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Those here mentioned did not excuse themselves. Or you could say, for those here mentioned did not excuse themselves from the accepting of the plan of the salvation of the brother of the everlasting covenant, that's the doctrinal teaching of Yahshua for salvation by his blood, that they excuse themselves from going into their Master's mansion, from taking their seats at his table. Yes, according unto the parable, those who had money to buy land, oxen and houses, also to marry at the time the last call for the supper came, all excused themselves with the one consent, but the poor and afflicted, those who were in the streets and in the land, so to speak, who had nothing much of their own and were in the need of everything, were glad to go in for the supper. This is very natural. Those who are satisfied with what the world gives do not care to get out of it. Here you see why. It is easier for a camel than it is for a rich person to get through the needle's eye, Matthew 19:24. Those whose only difficulty is in trying to get richer, those who are deeply engrossed with this world's goods, cannot take time for the eating of the Master's Supper. Here fits the age-old saying, almost saved but entirely lost. Here is vividly seen that for the accepting of the one truth, but to reject the next profits one nothing. For the last call to the individual is what counts most. The last call. At the time when the new truths have been introduced, millions have lost, not only because they were too well satisfied with what they had, they saw need of nothing better, or else they would too, they were too proud to accept the unpopular truth from one of the Yahweh's own appointed messengers. This is that when Yahweh sends a message, rather than it being unto them as a step upward toward salvation, it has been and still is unto many a steep or step downward toward the damnation. Unto this end was the prophet instructed. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. Take that. This is Luke 14, 22, 23. And the servant said, Master, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is a room. And the master said unto his saints, the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For the fact that in the city were those who had already been bidden when the last call for the supper came out of them proves that the city represents the church. To them was a servant first sent. The highways and the hedges, therefore, where the servant was next sent or went, represents the world for and right, but it represents the world for far and wide. Let's do that again. For the fact that in the city were those who had already been bidden when the last call for the supper came unto them proves that the city represents the Seventh-day Adventist church in these last days. Unto them was a servant first sent. Okay, so that's where the Davidians were first sent when they came on the scene in 1930 with V.T. Hutto, the Shepherd's Rock. This is where they were first sent. Unto them was a servant first sent, and into the highways and the hedges. Therefore, where the servant next went, represent the world far and wide, aside from the church. But the most important and very sad part to remember in this parable is that which is told in the verse that follows, Luke 14:24. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is what happened as soon as they excused themselves. Probation closed for them, They had no other chance of the tasting of his suffering. Probation, nevertheless, remained open for those who had not yet been bidden. Those who were in the highways and hedges could yet be saved. For the church, seems to too well versed as for the time probation closes for the world, but not at all informed that probation for the members closes at the very time they reject a heaven-sent message. Here is shown why the five foolish virgins found the door closed, though they had later obtained the oil and gotten to the door. Their probation had closed when they failed at the first opportunity for the filling of their vessels with the extra oil, the extra message. So that's what happened to Verlis Johnson on July the 14th, 2002, when they asked me what was my opinion on why they were losing all their blessings. I told them for the second time I didn't have an opinion, but I had a message from heaven. Well, he rejected that, and he asked me, he said, "Now I want to hear that message. I want to hear that secret. I want to hear that message from heaven." He asked me two questions. He wanted to know if I knew who was going to take his place at the change of the guard, and that I was shown, and he wanted that message from heaven. I gave him both of them. I told him the truth on both of those questions, and he rejected it all. Well, probation closed for him. He took 2 weeks to write a letter of rejection. He canceled the next Sabbath services. He went 2 solid weeks, and then he had church service to court-martial me and accused me of lying when I said I got that message from heaven, that he didn't have to obey because I was lying. And so probation closed for him no later than July the 27th of 2002. That's sad. That's sad to have to recall that. Matthew 25:1-8. Then while the unfaithful servant is being cut asunder, Matthew 24:51, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins that took their lamps and went forth for the meeting of the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. For they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Here is a truth that should not be lightly passed by any, for the oil can only represent the revealed prophetic truth, truth that lightens the path ahead. For oil and a vessel, before being put into a lamp, however, cannot lighten the path of anyone. Hence, the oil and the vessels of the 5 virgins must represent an extra supply, extra truth that came unto them during the period of the slumber and sleep. For when the call was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. All 10 virgins found the oil in their lamps consumed, for the vessels of the wise, however, were full, and so they could refill their lamps. They could refill their lamps as much as they needed to, as long as they had oil in their vessel. For the contrast, the foolish found that not only were their lamps out, but their vessels were empty also. They then went to obtain the oil, but it didn't them no good, for they found the door closed unto them. They had been satisfied with what they had in their lamps, presuming that there was no need for more. Contrary unto their assumption, though, however, or during the period of the slumber and sleep, they suddenly saw that the lamps, saw their lamps go out, finding themselves in the spiritual darkness and confusion. They were then anxious to get the oil. Here is seen that the message which the church has during the period of the slumber and sleep is not sufficient for the carrying her members through unto the end. They need an extra message. So the Adventists were slumbering and sleeping for a long time. They slumbered and slept through the shepherd rod from 1970. They slumbered and they have slumbered and slept from 1970 clear up to 2023, 53, for 93 years now. They have been slumbering and sleeping. Now, what is the difference between the oil and the lamp and the oil and the vessel? Just this, for the oil that is in the lamp that already lightens the traveler's path toward the master's mansion must represent truth and the progress, but the oil and the vessel must represent truth that is to lighten one's path after the former truth has accomplished its work. For example, after the harvest, investigative judgment of the dead is passed, other truths, even more important, must be introduced for the harvest of the living. I say more important truths because they are concerning the living themselves, concerning those whose own cases are to be weighed in the balances. Those who personally are to be judged either as the wheat or as the tares, either of the good fish or of the bad fish. Moreover, after judgment of the dead, which the church has been preaching for a number of years, is over, if the Seventh-day Adventist church does not then receive a new message, the message of the judgment of the living, and that message came in July, came in 2002 at Charlotte, Texas. The Gilead Center, the third feeding pastor for the Adventists, came to Verlis W. Johnson. She will have no message, no oil, for the time of the judgment of the living. As the oil was available unto all 10 virgins, the parable makes clear that the message of the judgment of the living, to the church, but that only half the virgins avail themselves of it. When the judgment of the living begins and the cry is made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him," they will all arise, but only half of them will gain the advantage, for the other half will have sinned away the Holy Spirit, will sin against the Holy Spirit, will have rejected the truth. Consequently, when they knock on the door, the bridegroom answer will be, "I never knew you." What foolishness and what a disappointment that will be. This, you see, is not man's theory, brother, sister. It is Yahweh's plain truth. How sad the case then for those who are not only neglecting their own vessels, but are even preventing others from getting the extra oil, or now while it is dispensed unto all. Indeed, there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, unless all of the lukewarm little sins now at the first opportunity change their minds about being rich and increased with the goods and in the need of nothing. Matthew 25:14-30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and unto another 1, unto every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his master's money after a long time. The master of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." His master said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master." He also that had received the 2 talents and came and said, "Master, thou deliverest unto me the 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His master said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Master, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." for his master answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not sown. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with the usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And says ye, the unprofitable servant, into the outer darkness there shall be the weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For the talents in this parable represent the Yahshua's goods, his timely messages for the people. Each of his servants is here represented as being given a certain amount of the responsibility, but not beyond their ability. From this parable, we see that any service which does not measure up 100% to capacity, that does not double its talents, is not acceptable unto the Yahweh. Half-hearted service is not the service at all. Only a great waste. Matthew 25:31-40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the sheep on the left, but the goats on the left, he put the sheep on the right, the goats on the left, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in the prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee an hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in the prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Here it is pointed out that the self-centered person will never enter the kingdom of the Yahweh. Only those who are endeavoring for doing something for the others, and especially for those who are of the household of the faith. Faith in what? Faith in the new living way, the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10. By his blood, through his blood, in his blood, will ever enter into the joy of their master. Most certainly this coming of the Yahshua mentioned in these verses is not one in which the saints meet him in the air, but it certainly is the one in which he meets them in the judgment on the earth, the judgment of the living. for he sits on the throne of his glory. On this throne of his church, his kingdom, and from there he judges and separates the whole world. Some he places to his right, and some unto his left. Let us now view the separation in the Seventh-day Adventist Church according unto the Revelation. Revelation 3:14-18.
16.
Unto the angel of the church of the latter sins, and that would be addressed to the last angel of the candlestick, and that would be Brother Stephen Johnson, Trumbull, Texas, 2002. Write these things, saith the Amen. That for the faithful, of the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. For the angel, the one that has the charge of the church, cannot represent any class but the ministry of the church. That's the ministers of the that is the minister himself. Those who are satisfied, are lukewarm, who feel no need of anything, no need of an additional. I won't come back out and say these angels or these candlesticks are prophets. They're a single person that's put over each one of these candlesticks in their respective time, and these are angels that are put in charge. Earthly angels, I'm talking about, with inspiration. These are living men in your midst. For the angel, the one that has the charge of the church, that's the prophet with inspiration. Just like Ellen G. White had inspiration, the prophet, cannot represent any class but the ministers of each candlestick of the churches as his servant. Those who are satisfied, lukewarm, who feel no need of anything, no need of an additional mercy for the judgment of the living, such will he spew out unless they repent. For this work, you see, represents the cleansing of the temple. So it's a ministry that has to be judged and spewed out before he can cleanse the sanctuary. He has to cleanse the ministers that's in charge of the sanctuary. This verse introduces two persons, the Yahshua and his messenger. In the language of the day, these verses would read as follows. Behold, I send my messenger, even the messenger of the covenant. That would be Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek, and in whom you delight, shall suddenly come unto his temple. Behold, he shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host. Now, Malachi 3, 2 to 4, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver. Then he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua, as in the days of old and as in the former years. Plainly, these verses foretell that the Yahshua is to send the Elijah, the antitypical Elijah of Malachi 4:5, the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. That's before the judgment of the living members of his church began. So he sends his Elijah even before the judgment of the living begins for the church members. And that judgment of the living began there in Trumbull, Texas at 2002, started the Passover 2002. That's when the judgment of the living began. And I've been there for 32 years. And I ended up having the role of this Elijah. So I was there 32 years before the judgment of the living began at Kermit, Texas. Before the separating of the terrors, yeah, and Brother Johnson and all those that rejected that message I gave July the 14th, 2002 to Brother Johnson, he rejected it. He caused all the rest of the church members to reject it. That was, and that message that I gave them is what separated, separated the tares from the wheat. Starting with the Gilead Center. From the wheat, the bad from the good, then he purifies the sons of Levi. That's the priesthood, the 144,000. There it is right there. Yahweh assures us that before this work begins, he will send his messenger, the messenger of the promise, Elijah the prophet. Revelation 18, 1 to 4, and after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of the devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, said the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from the heavens saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. These verses illustrate the separation that takes place in the so-called Christian world, that mark that the angel proclaims the fall of Babylon in the time of the angel's loud cry, in the time that the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel, then it is that Yahweh's people are actually called to come out of Babylon. Moreover, for Yahweh to call his people out of Babylon on account of her sins means that he must bring them into a place where there is no sin, into his purified church, his kingdom, for the place that is free from sin and that is not in danger of the plagues. Plainly then, the purification of the church first takes place, and then are the rest of his people called out of Babylon. Remember now, this is the way in which the kingdom is to come. Therefore, we are to give the more earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by the angels were steadfast, and every transaction and every disobedience received a just recompense of the reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2, 1-3. This brings in verse 36, our contact says it's the 11th hour call, and it's number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this and more. We close now.